What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative. Today we're with John Bauman. How are you?
I'm great, man. Thanks for having me on today. It's good to chat with you.
Absolutely, dude. Absolutely. I've been ready for this one for a while, so thanks for making it happen. But before we get into anything too much, man, just kind of let us know what you've been up to. Just catch us up on what you've been up to now recently.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see. It's 6 months ago I put a record out. It was my fifth record. Pretty much since then, just staying in Texas, you know, a lot of acoustic shows, some band shows in there. I just got back from a fishing trip in Rockport, Texas, which was lovely. But other than that, man, not too much.
Okay, right on. Sometimes it's good to, you know, kind of let loose for a bit, right? I'd imagine.
Yes, of course.
Hell yeah, dude. Yeah. But, yeah, so let's dive into it, man. I got to say, first off, that when I started to really get into, like, Texas music and everything, the singer-songwriter part of it, I should say, that you were always one of my go-tos, man. And it's as someone who's not a songwriter, I'm going to explain it the best way I can, but like, I feel like with your lyrics and stuff you write, it paints the best picture, I think, when I compare it to other art, musicians. Like you say the words and I just see it immediately kind of thing. And, I guess, can you kind of describe, all these years and being in that scene, just how is the culture with that? Like the songwriters in Texas and like, how would you compare that to maybe other scenes that you might've been around? Like, how would you explain that culture?
You know, I think Texas has such great history, such rich history. Part of that too, is we have great storytellers and we've had great storytellers, and that's not to take away from any of the other 49 states, but, Texas has just produced a lot of greats, and I really kind of got exposed to a lot of those folks somewhere in high school and just kept going further and further down the rabbit hole. But, you know, kind of a gateway drug for me was like Pat Green and Cory Morrow, a little more in your face, late 90s, early 2000s music. But like, once I started looking past them, I started finding stuff that I was just blown away by, you know. Young Hayes Carl, Adam Carroll, Guy Clark, James McMurtry, and obviously Robert Keane. But I think, you know, since the 70s, at least, you know, since Willie was coming back to Texas, there's just been this sort of rogue, renegade, you could call it outlaw, but we just kind of have this great tradition of storytellers that are a little bit left of center or, you know, a little rough around the edges. And, I got really, really into that and still am, but you know, they set a high bar and you kind of want to, drive in those same lanes as those guys do. So yeah, rich history. I haven't spent a whole lot of time in other music scenes, but, it's a big, big world. So I don't want to cast any shade on anybody.
For sure, man. And it is cool. Like whenever I am in Texas and I get to talk to guys like you and gals like you, it just seems so close. Like the camaraderie aspect is like through the roof. Like, and it seems like everyone's helping each other out. Like I see like, obviously like the panhandlers, like right. With those guys like that, it just seems like a tight knit group with like those four, like you four. And, just everyone around that, like, that's probably pretty true, right? Like just the camaraderie aspect just seems so rich.
Oh, for sure. I mean, obviously like, you know, we're all in the same business and we're all kind of competing for survival and things like that sometimes. But, the vibes are good. Typically backstage at festivals, the vibes are good. Everybody knows everybody. It's very insular. It's very much a small community. And like, you know, you'll be driving down I-35 and pull into a gas station and you'll just see another band there and you'll be like, what's up? Where are you guys at tonight? You know, like it's pretty close, I would say. And, you know, just going through your phone book, you're like, you feel like you could call, if you really needed something, you could call almost anybody in this scene and they'd help you out for sure.
Hell yeah, that's awesome. And let's dive more into like your songwriting in particular.
Sure.
My favorite thing is to ask songwriters, because I can't understand it at all, how you guys do what you do. But so if these come off kind of mumbo jumbo, just bear with me. But I guess my favorite thing to ask is about, how do you know when a song is finished, when it's good enough for you? Like, when that bell goes off, like, all right, this is it. Like, do you have like that kind of alert to where you're like, this is good to go? Like, how does that work?
I think there's two things. And one is there's that alert or internal feeling when it's like a gut check and you're like, man, I think my gut and my brain are both telling me this is pretty good and pretty solid. And you're not always right, but like, there's definitely like some voice that's telling you, we can put a stamp on this one. And the second one I would say is when I start when I lay it down on the phone and record it, just me and a guitar, and start sending it to like a couple people, a couple bandmates, a producer, like a music friend, and you know, whatever. That's another litmus test when you just like, I feel good enough to share this one in this format. I'm not ready to play it out yet, but, it's like a living thing that's existing now, and I can share it and get some feedback. But yeah, kind of both of those.
Yeah. And is there like when you do finish a song, and is there a way or a feeling you get to when you write and you want it to be personal? Obviously, it's your song. You write songs, it's a very personal thing. But how do you balance that with I want it to appeal to the audience, of course, but like, is there like a middle ground there to where you kind of have to like wrestle your emotions in that way, or like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's one that I am still working through as I like mature, get older, get more experience. Like, you know, I've had a habit of like listing places in Texas throughout so much of my career. And like, that's good and well, but sometimes it kind of alienates, an outside listener per se. Like, you know, I have this song called South Texas Tradition, and I think people really love it, but like, I could have just picked two other words over South Texas and made it more universal or whatever. But I think as I go forward, it's like, maybe you don't have to name a specific place, you just kind of color it in a different way. But I don't know if that answers that question, but
I get what you're saying. It just seems like that could be like a challenge to any kind of musician. It is like, this is my song. It's you kind of got to be selfish, right? Like, it's your story and everything, but also, you know what I mean? Like, in the back of your head, you're like, I also want, you know, I want people to hear this kind of like and relate to it, I guess. I don't know.
No, you're exactly right. And I tend to be quite selfish with those things and a little bit prideful, and it just kind of is what it is, you know, like, but I have some examples I won't share, but like, definitely have had some times where it's like, am I doing this for them or am I doing this for me? And I keep thinking about like Rick Rubin, and he's always like, you know, you got to make yourself happy first.
Yep.
And then the audience will come later. But man, there's so much luck involved in push and pull. It's such a crapshoot. Yeah.
Absolutely, man. Do you find yourself when you write, I mean, obviously you've been doing this a while, and over like the years or over your releases or whenever you write, do you find yourself experimenting and really wanting to dive into like different kinds of like maybe kinds of writing or approaches to writing? Or has it always been like just a natural thing for you, and like you don't really think about it that way? Or do you ever like purposely go and like, I'm gonna try this sound or this style, anything like that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I used to be like, you know, my antenna was up all the time and like listening to what people were saying and like constantly working in my notes. And it's a little different now, and I don't really do a whole lot of co-writing, but like, it's very much like me sitting down at this desk right here 3 feet away and like just kind of grinding it out. And it's so weird. It's like the quick songs are usually the better ones, or the more beloved, and the ones that you slave over, work your butt off on, they never seem to be, at least my more liked songs. But yeah, I mean, making a record is always a different experience. And you know, I was just thinking about this on my drive home today. I was just thinking about how important it is to write what you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to remind myself of that, you know, like write what you know and where you know. But like, I talk about this with other bands too. It's like there's when you're sound checking on stage, it's amazing like how creative that little time can be, because it's a little pressurized and everyone's kind of feeling things out, but you've got to make a groove and a beat. And like, so many songs that I've written have come out of like sound checking with a band, and I always think like, how fun
Okay.
would it be to just mic up a band and let them go and write songs around whatever noise y'all are making.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I just interviewed, my last interview was with a band called Max Saturn, and they're like more on the rock side, you know. And they were saying that too. It's like, we just go on stage and work everything out. Like they, you know what I mean? Like that's where a lot of it comes from. I never like thought about that, I guess, even during the show. Like
Oh, dude. Yeah. Like the band, it's a great time to be creative. It's strange, but for sure.
Yeah, man. Do you ever find it hard when you write? Do you ever think you might overthink a song, like put too much into it, to where you're like, I gotta rein it back. I like it where it was. Like, does it, I feel like that has to be something that comes up.
Yeah, for sure. I think some of my thing is more of like, it's not so much overthinking the song, it's overthinking the idea of the song. And it's like, this idea is so out to left field or so highfalutin or so cheesy and dumb. Like that's sometimes my problem, but like, man, it's fun to be creative and it's fun to push the boundaries, but it's like, if I'm in a good subject lane, I'm usually safe. When I get a little like out there, it kind of, it's not that the wheels turn off, it's just, I don't know if it appeals to a broader audience per se, yeah.
I got you. Well, let's talk about a guy on a rock.
Sure.
Obviously, this came out, I think, in October last year, I
Yeah.
believe, and
Yeah.
I've listened to this not when it came out, but I wish I almost missed it. I'm kicking myself, man, but
Nah, man.
I'm glad I finally did. And man, it's been on repeat, dude. It's one of those albums. It hooked me immediately. It was no skips, and like it wasn't even like
Awesome.
you were thinking about it. It flows, and like it just flows like that. And favorite Susan Up the Street is amazing, by the way. But
Cool.
I was wondering, like, first off, there were no singles to this one, right?
I mean, there weren't. I just put the whole record out all at
And
once.
obviously that's like not a too common of a thing anymore. Like that's not the popular
No.
thing to do. And but like I love that. Like I'm an album guy. Like I love albums.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
is that when you're writing for that and putting together your record, and you have that in mind, we're not going to put like singles out over the course of a couple months. Does your approach or method, like, is it differ any? Like, is there a different approach you got to go?
Yeah, I guess so. Like this record was so weird and different and abnormal for me. Like I recorded over the course of a year with a guy that lives 20 minutes away. So I was writing as we went, not real aggressively, but I was also grabbing songs from the past that I'd never recorded, and it's just kind of a hodgepodge of songs, but I was able to do it at this like, yeah, we did it over 9 or 10 months and just working 2 or 3 days a month. So it wasn't like band goes to studio, sits down, presses record, and knocks it out in a week or two. It was a lot more painstaking and kind of clunky with our procedure, but like it was economical, it was close to my house, and it allowed me to like be a little more creative and have a little bit more fun. But yeah, I mean, the rollout of just putting it all up at once was sort of a pride thing, and two, also just being like, let's see what happens, you know. I see it work every single way, or and I see it fail every single way, putting songs out early or just, and I just thought, let's just let these go. So yeah, who knows?
I mean, I think it would, as a fan at least, like something like that would, if you artists put all these singles out and then you got like maybe three new ones that actually show up on the record. And I get it, that I get it, trust me. But like it's nice to have like a drop with just all those new tracks at once, for sure.
For sure. I love when records drop, like when Silverado were the Moon Pies and they dropped Cheap Silver. I mean, I'll never forget that. I was just like blown away by that record. And I think there's something really, really cool and really brave about it. And I got to be honest, like, I'm not sure it had the results I intended, but I was also like, if the songs are good enough, the record will work. It just may not be, we just may not know about it for a few years.
Yeah.
Maybe for a long time, who knows?
Right, but like, I describe it, it's like kind of like a statement, you know? It's like, here's my stuff, like right there, like,
yeah.
Rather than going the more traditional way of doing it now. Like it's cool that you did that, man. And
thanks.
And when I listened to this, it felt like obviously Guy on the Rock, the actual name Guy on the Rock. It's like a day in the life kind of feeling when I listen to this. Like all the songs are very relatable in different ways. You know, I feel like anyone could relate to these. Is that something you went for? Like the whole, like, I'm just a guy, this is what I'm going through kind of thing. Like it could be any guy on a rock.
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, it's like, I talked about this in an interview a few weeks ago, but I was, you know, Carl Sagan, he's like the planet guy,
mm-hmm.
guide, but he was always like, we're all here on this pale blue dot together. And, you know, that was sort of the through line. We're all just regular folks. We all put our pants on the same way. And, most of us. And, yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, man, it was a great release, and I'm glad I listened to it finally. I kick Thanks. Myself sometimes, dude. I'll just miss a record, and it's like one of my favorite ones that comes out in a long time.
For sure, I get it. You know, there's so much music coming at us, especially on both sides of this conversation. Like, it's so much to keep up with. There's a guy named bands called Medium Build, or the artist called Medium Build.
Okay.
I was like a year late to his record, but I listened to it for 3 straight months, you know, and so it happens. It's hard. There's a lot of music out there.
Yeah. The world of Spotify and streaming, everything. It's great when it comes to like, here's your new releases, like your little playlist that gives you new releases,
sure.
But you have a million freaking people on it. It's like,
for sure.
Yeah. I mean, bring back CDs, man. But, but awesome, man. So how are shows looking? I know you were earlier telling us about what you've been up to. Do you have any shows coming up? Anything like that we could look forward to?
Yeah, I've got, I'll be in, April 11th, I'll be in Newcastle, Texas with Pat Green. That'll be a lot of fun. I've got some shows to round out April. I'll be in Nashville at Chiefs on Wednesday, April 22nd.
Okay.
With Adam Hood, which will be fun. And then I'm kind of back here in Texas in May, and then July, we haven't announced yet, but we're working on a good little Midwestern tour to take me up through that part of the world, which I'm excited about. It'll be a first time for me.
Right
for
on,
most of
right
those
on.
Places, yeah.
Awesome. And I got to ask, man, any action with the Panhandlers like coming up or?
Well, I just went fishing with Josh Abbott and our two boys, and We're always having conversations about that kind of stuff. We had a writing retreat planned for supposed to be next week, actually, but William Clark Green is having baby number 3, which,
oh, wow.
I'm not
Congrats.
Breaking news there. Yeah. So it's on the to-do list, but nothing in the can right now, but that's been such a fun project. And I think the next thing we do will be very special.
Absolutely, man. And before we head out, what about your music, your own stuff? Do we have anything down the pipe, maybe?
I don't have anything yet, and I need to get motivated and get going because I keep putting it off. But I literally think I finished a song this morning, which I'm excited about. And I just need to write 10 or 12 more to make another record. So we're like back at the beginning of this whole process.
Yep. All a cycle, man. But
for sure.
John, thank you so much for hopping on. This was a blast. Been listening to you for a long time now. Glad to finally connect. And also, where can people find you? Just John Bauman on everything?
Yeah, that's me. I mean, John E. Bauman on Instagram. E as in, yeah, Edward, John E. Bauman. And then I'm on Twitter and Facebook and Spotify. I don't really do TikTok. I have before, but I don't know. It's hard. It's a lot
of
stuff.
That's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah, man. But thank you for hopping on again. This was great. You guys make sure to follow, check out his music. Absolutely. And also check out Ray's Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. Google us. We'll pop up. So thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next time. My boots look good under your bed.
And I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight?